Tell me that record's not 41 years old. Man, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, American Girl on 90.3 KNBA. We heard the latest from Justin Towns' Earl from Kids in the Street with Maybe a Moment. Paper Bird in there. Great soulful track from Eric Bibb, Shine On. And we started out with new music from Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie. And Feel About You, the two Mackers' new album is self-titled. Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie, 8:25. It is the Morning Line program for Tuesday. My name is Danny Preston. Thanks so much for tuning in. KMBA keeping you in tune with our community. And we've got a couple of special guests to welcome to the program from ANA, the Administration for Native Alaskans Technical Assistance Center, the regional director, Anthony Caoli. Good morning. Welcome.
Morning. Thank you.
And we also have outreach and technology specialist Richard Perry, a longtime friend of the radio stations. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Danny. How are you?
Good. Great. Great to see you. So for folks who aren't familiar with ANA and what the Administration for Native Americans do, give us the lowdown a little bit, Anthony.
Okay, great. So the Administration for Native Americans is a federal agency, and they provide funding throughout Alaska. We've got about 20-plus projects that are funded in the state. And what's amazing about ANA is just the diversity of the type of projects that are funded, from language immersion, language preservation and maintenance, to social and economic development projects. For instance, here at Cook Inlet Tribal Council, we've funded two projects, the Schoolyard Enhancement Program and also the Mikelingut Kanachchikut Yupik Language Nest Program, which just started up in 2016. So it's a unique funding source for tribes and Native organizations in Alaska and throughout the country.
So with the technical assistance arena, what does that entail with ANA and with hooking up the local community?
Well, ANA is unique in that they contract with four separate regional providers, and we're here on the ground in Alaska. They contract with us, the Alaska Region TA Center, to provide support to both the applicants and the grantees to help them succeed with their projects.
So what sort of project might I have? Why might I seek out the services?
Well, we provide a range of services to support both your applications. We provide two different types of workshops, project planning and development. And then when the funding notices come out, we do a two-day pre-app training to help you prepare to apply for ANA funding. And in addition to that, we also, once you've got your draft application, we have a team of both staff and consultants that can review your draft applications for free. That's a service that ANA provides and funds through the Technical Assistance Center.
It really is from the very beginning of the imagining the grant to the end.
Yep.
And helping close it out.
And what might be an example of a grant that somebody applies for and seeks assistance with?
Well, ANA funds any kind of tribal or Native community-based project that comes from the community. So it's really flexible. We have organizations coming in for to start up social enterprises. Native language and immersion programs, teacher certification for teaching Native languages, different cultural preservation projects.
Is it just for nonprofits or for for-profit agencies?
It's for Native Americans, Native nonprofits, federally recognized tribes, Pacific Islander organizations in Alaska that have nonprofit arms. So, yeah, the eligibility is pretty wide open, as long as they're Native organizations.
Now, technical assistance, of course, is what you do here. But I'm looking at a little brochure, and it talks about we abbreviate technical assistance TA. This says ETA. What's ETA?
Well, our technical assistance, we do both on site, where we actually go out to the communities and help them, usually once they're funded. But we also provide sort of remote electronic technical assistance, and that's just, over the phone, or sometimes we use screen sharing apps. I get calls sometimes, and when they're having difficulty submitting their forms, we we patch them in through our web, our screen sharing.
So you
app.
Actually do webinars?
No, we do webinars too. So one of the challenges in Alaska, though, is especially in the rural areas, is we're continually running up against the issues with poor connectivity. So we really, and this is part of Richard's job, is we're really looking at different types of platforms that know how to deal with poor connectivity. So
one of the things that we're striving to help with is the new changes that are coming up with ANA on the technical side of applying for grants. There's a web application that's going to be required to use.
Yeah, grants.gov is moving to a new platform called Workspace, and that's going to be mandatory in 2018. And what we saw several years ago when grants.gov became mandatory was a huge decline in applications, all federal applications, and that really hurt the rural areas. So one of the things we're really focused on is letting people know that there's some changes happening with the grants.gov and the application process, and helping prepare organizations to get ready for that. Because in 2018, not just ANA, but a lot of different federal agencies are going to require applicants to use this new workspace where they have to upload everything electronically.
So you got a whole new roadmap to get.
We have a whole new roadmap, yeah. And it's a constant learning process. So Alaska's fortunate in that we do have a TA center here on the ground with very competent and committed people that are trying to assist to work through these changes.
Okay, and, yeah, tremendous. We really want to get the word out and provide a helping hand if we can.
Okay. Now, a couple of opportunities.
Yeah, we're right now we've got some project planning and development training that's coming up, and we just rewrote the manual for this training. So there's some changes in the framework for ANA projects that we're going to be teaching people about. And I've got a class in Ketchikan, October 3, 4, and 5, and I'm actually, we need more people in that class, so I'm keeping it open until the end of today for registration. I need to pick up two more organizations down in Ketchikan for that. And then we've got the project planning and development training that's happening here in Anchorage, October 10, 11, and 12. And these classes, although ANA provides them as a free service, it'll help you for any kind of funding that you're going after. It prepares you to come up with a really good, solid, community-based project design for your projects. So it's good training to have, and we're excited about some of the new changes that we're going to be teaching in these classes. So that's two that are happening right now. And then later on when the funding comes out, hopefully in December, then we'll start having the two-day sort of nuts and bolts pre-app training on how to actually assemble an ANA application.
Okay. So really, it's pretty wide open. Any sort of a grant need of a nonprofit, from languages to industry to social and economic development, if you need to find out, how do I get involved, what do I do, that's for them, right?
That's exactly. This is a foundational class. It's kind of teaches you the nuts and bolts on how to start preparing and putting together a project for a competitive federal application. So yeah, it's any type of Native organization is eligible to come participate in the class, and it's free. You just got to pay your travel and if you've got to travel to site or your lodging or whatever, but the class itself is free.
Sometimes I think we forget about that, the dynamic nature of not just society, but of technology marching along in these changes. Because we talk about the whole evolving grant process. Oh, it's all changed, and then a couple of minutes later, we say, "Yep, we had to rewrite the manual." And this is something ongoing. There's a continuous learning curve. It's not like, okay, we've arrived, we know everything about, and this is cool. It's a continual learning process for everybody, both clients and for y'all too, right?
It is, yeah. I actually got pretty nostalgic. I rarely write grants. We provide technical assistance, but I had the opportunity to write a grant recently for a community that I'm connected with, and it was kind of fun to actually submit a hard copy application, because it was like, it's so rare that you do that anymore, but for this particular funding agency.
Yeah, my grandfather told me about hard copy applications.
So there's a lot of fun stories about the past, submitting hard copy applications from rural Alaska, and course, you know, you got to plan it weeks in advance, because by the time it gets to D.C., it could take 2 weeks. But those days
are
over.
You can fill them out while you listen to your 8-track tapes. It's 834, 835. If you're just joining us, our guests this morning are Anthony Caoli and Richard Perry from ANA, Administration for Native Americans. We're talking about grant processes for various events and opportunities for folks in the Native community with nonprofit organizations, and learning more about how to go through the grant procedure, how to navigate all the red tape and the technology, some training opportunities, and of course, we want to remind folks that the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention coming up October 19th through the 21st, and Richard, ANA is going to be hanging there too, right?
Yeah. So come look for our table, and we'll answer questions and share some more information and details about what we do and how we can help.
Okay, super. As we get set to wrap up, I'm going to remind folks again, October 10th from the 12th to the 12th, from 8:30 to 5 at the Homewood Suites Hotel is where the trainings are going to take place. Pre-registration,
yes.
A must?
Yeah, ANAalaska.org is the website. So for any of our training, you need to go to the website and register there. And also, when you get ready to submit your draft applications, go to that website and you can upload your draft application, and we can provide a complete review of that going in. It's pretty unique. Okay. It's totally free, so we encourage...
The price is right.
Yeah, we encourage applicants to do that. We guarantee we're gonna find some things to help you strengthen and improve your application.
It's coming up with ANA. Anthony and Richard, thanks so much for joining us today on Morning Line.
Thank you.
Guayana.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And at 8:36, coming up, Bruce Coburn, Imelda May, and more.
Hawaiian guitar legends Keola Beamer and Henrik Pono fuse traditional Hawaiian music with laid-back rock. The New York Times calls Beamer the quintessential Hawaiian slack-key guitar master, and his album, Honolulu City Lights, is still the best-selling record in Hawaiian music history. Escape to the islands without leaving the state. Keola Beamer and Henrik Pono, Friday, October 13th in the Discovery Theater. Presented by the Anchorage Concert Association. Tickets available at CenterTix and AnchorageConcerts.org.
KMBA programming is supported by the Minilik Association, providing health care, tribal, and social services to residents of rural Northwest Alaska.
8 people were arrested in New Mexico protesting the annual reenactment of the conquistadors retaking Santa Fe. Organizers of the pageant call it a peaceful resettlement. Opponents say the demonstration does not accurately represent history and is offensive to Natives. Join us as we explore more on this issue on the next Native America Calling.